Cheb, or Bacot Cheb, as I shuffled from road to road. It was brave enough to fight me, did not have a hope. With so much speed and power, no one could ever cope. Falling to the floor as I rolled the door, because I'm Muhammad Ali, more popular than the Pope. Born in Newville, Kentucky, my name Cassius Clay. I changed to Muhammad Ali as I fought for the right of minority. The establishment thought they could make an example of me, but in Vietnam I would never be. Take the Muhammad Ali, how foolish could they be? When I look in the mirror, what do I see? This beautiful man looking back at me. So hard to be humble when you look as good as me. Everywhere I go, people stop and stare at me. Guess I would too if I looked as good as me. Foreman and Fraser thought they could beat me, but I told them after rumble in the jungle and the trill in Manila, I would still be king. As Foreman fumbled in the jungle, I was like a grill in Manila, Fraser could not live with me. As I float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, I take the world titles back home with me. In case you didn't know, I also happen to be the world's greatest poet, because I'm Muhammad Ali, the greatest fox you've ever seen.
It's about going back to family when I was younger again. Names defunct, man is certain fierce. Cumbersome iron ploughs, sunken overgrown dykes. Uptrodden skaters show their spikes. Tumbling paddies rotting in the ticket shadows. Memories flood back. Short clad, sweat drenched men piking wines of hay on a glorious July Sunday. Keating's spice pan filled with home cured ham, washed down with mugs of tea from a silver sweet can. Days that won't come again. Hay floats gathering dust, odours of must. No more abuse, the horse and the haggard runs loose.
It's Our Lady of Good Counsel, and the story is that this fresco was miraculously transported from Albania in the 1400s, whatever, and landed. It was in a cloud, and it came across, and it landed in all gospel truth, don't I? Landed in Genazzano in Italy. And the devotion is to the image itself. It's still hanging there, it's very fragile. The image itself. It can be seen in St. Augustine's Church there. If you go up in, for a sneaky look in the side door of St. Augustine's Church, and it's all over the world, right?
And did it fly or transport?
It came in a cloud. Yeah. Some fellas documented it or whatever. In the 1400s. These did.
Yes.
Anyway. It's Mother of Good Counsel. Ye call out to me, Matter Bunny Consilly. I am bewildered by these pleas. I recall nothing of the miracles. I only know this paper thin existence for me and my infant son. Ye tell me I once had a cloud for my protection, but now my fragile form floats exposed, and my colours have muted to an umber glow. In time ye will see right through me white wisps of porcelain where my halo used to be. Ye have consecrated me, ye have desecrated me, and my child bears the plaster scars of wars. His eyes reveal the memories. He has heard the bombs with the bells. And look again, it is he who's holding me. How can ye gaze all this time and still not see? I'm too young to counsel. I am too old to mother and protect. But yet, if sitting with my image, is a comfort. I will do what I was crafted for, and bless you.
Thanks, Jack. We have Quillan O'Dwyer, please.
The ball of my foot bores itself into the ground. Potential energy building, pleading to become kinetic. So much passion and power to give, if only I knew to whom or who, to which or what, to cause or comfort, meaning or mediocrity, servitude or enslavement, art, or the cold, calculated domination of the entire world. The world is your oyster. The world is your oyster. The world is your oyster. Words drummed into me over the years by each figure of misguided old guard. Not much good if you don't have a fucking oyster knife to shuck it. Career guidance should be taught with more vim and vigor to those still enthused before still children are lowered into the hot gun that is the Leaving Cert. Thanks.
Sounds great. You should read audiobooks or something. Do you think so? Can we get Charles Clark, please?
This is a memory of an occasion when I, with a friend of mine, watched cricket in the parks in Oxford at a time when the Nawab Attawdy Jr. was the captain. I'll give you another second three-liner. The captains and the kings depart. By orders of the Indian government, the Nawab of Attawdy is disentitled. Mansoor Ali Khan has joined the majority. Second, at the parks for E.A. Malia. The luncheon interval. The captain and the secretary pass the hat, circuiting the field. It is Fatawdy's year. The screen of trees to the north, like a great organ case in a church, faces the offense of the pavilion. Say restarts. The lady is about to raise her binoculars near the sight screen. I look over the deck chairs to the closed flap of the bar, which is now the third man. The county side is batting carefully and will not reach 300. We lunched on venison pie and Guinness on that June day.
So this is a poem, Oscailin. I don't have a translation of this at all, but it's a Lán Cheist, it's called, which is the day of the question. Nokrev lá on V Nokrev. Nokrev Cheist on freshen V Nokrev. Cogul an kesht imha. Is la uivnak e an la gan kesht egan, nak will. Ak. Is la sunak e an la gan kesht egan anew, nak will. Amul ein kesht agendana, amul keshtana agendana, amul ein kesht agum. Nak rev leir vastor aun, vi nak rev. Nak rev kaina aun freshen, vi nak rev. Cowl an kaina imahe. Is law bulskrucht e an law gan kaina egan nak will. Ak. Is law untake an law gan kaina egan anew. Nak will. An will ain kesht again dinna. An will keshtana again dinna. An will ain kesht agum. Nak rev an re li eun. Vi not rev. Not rev glueship down freshen. V, not rev. Cawvel nanon rila imma. Is blean suckery and vlean gun on really agen, not will. Och. Is blean obere and vlean gun on really agen, and you, not will. I will ain kesht again dinna. I will kesht in it again dinna. I will ain kesht a gun.
Patricia Walsh, to the world.
Thank you, Joe. This poem is called In the Book of Nimrod. For those of you who don't know, Nimrod is an American slang for someone who's a total idiot. And this kind of refers to my previous incarnation as an archaeologist, but was a student and his worker. And I mean, my young lads in class were saying, oh, we are going to be the best, next best thing to hit archaeology. But of course, as you say, life's what happens when we make other plans. So here it goes. The Book of Nimrod. Queuing for sight, remaining to be seen, rubbishing darlings at a lifetime notice, plowing through silk all the way to the bank, exacting your fill in a measure too deep, campaigning until the petitions run dry. The hypocritical alcohol causes harassment, warnings abide in the heart of the beholder, translating into English to a terminology supreme. Single preferment like a crown of willow. Identifying wood as a costly exercise. Poison beyond understanding, a lot to be ridiculed. Peering into lunchboxes for a winning argument. Eating with censure, a better wager. Local festivals repeat the same successes. Digitally recorded in the bitch's memory. Running out of jokes to sink one with. Not seen to be argued on any given point. A lifetime of exclusion, the less the merrier. Twisting penknives into the toker's girth. Weaving on the quiet, not showing concern. False love resurrected ancient paths. Boldly reciting the secret bludgeons therein. Promising archaeology a better figure. That is us, confidentially, cock and walk. A brutal failure is on its way.
Mr. Foster with Edward O'Dwyer. I don't know if Stanley is still here, but it took him about 20 seconds to make a Stab City joke. So thank you, Stan. And then he asked me for a favour. And I said yes. Anyway. He did help me to decide what poem to read. The speaker in this poem is a male about 16 years old. I'm speaking in one particular kind of Limerick accent. You may hear another kind in this poem. My best friend, Sammy. My best friend, Sammy, is a stubborn bastard about everything. When we were 8, I'll always remember it, he took a shot and it went over the jumper. It was post, nowhere near a goal. No fucking way, Sammy started screaming. It was in, and crazy eyes on him. When he gets the crazy eyes on him, he isn't messing. He fell out with me over it, took his ball and went home, not a word. Days passed and turned into 2 weeks, and enough was enough. I called over to his house after school and I said, okay, Sammy, it was in. That was that. Minutes later and we were out kicking the ball again, playing a game of goal. Stubborn cunt, I said to Sammy as he was heading in, and he laughed. They beat the absolute shit out of him, the fucking scumbags. Sammy could be his own worst enemy sometimes. That was just a plain fact. I know him. I know he could have stayed down but wouldn't. They kept putting him down and he kept getting back to his feet and laughing and calling them pansies and then daring them to try it again. His big fat eyes bulging out of his head. They took their turns having their kicks and takes. Then they took one of the eyes out of him. They stabbed him piercing alone. They'd have been looking for a fag. That's how it goes. You're probably fucked if you give it, fucked if you don't. They're not asking. It's not about the fag. Gie's a fag, will you? They say, and the best thing you can do is peg it, but Sammy wouldn't ever do that, the stubborn fuck that he is. Gie's a fag, will you? They say. And their hood's up. Scrawny shower, tracksuit bottoms tucked into white socks. Go on, will you? It's only one fag, like. I really need Sammy to wake up. He's my best friend, and I need him. The same day it happened, I shifted Jenny. I want to tell Sammy all about it, the fucking magic of it. Her tongue in my mouth, mine in hers, and my hands all over the juicy denim arms of her. Finally did it. Sammy has been listening to me going on and on about Jenny for must be over 4 years now, and never doing nothing about it. Shifted the face off her, but it doesn't feel real now. How can it if I can't tell my best friend? Jesus Christ, wake up. Wake fucking up! Sammy has to be the first to know. I owe him it. You stubborn cunt, Sammy. It was post, Sammy. When we were 8, post. Now wake up and scream at me. Open up your crazy eye. Tell me it was in.
So I'm only going to read part of it. It probably will lose, but anyway. It's called The Samson Saga. The story of Samson in the Bible is so alarming and ambiguous, it's best viewed as a cautionary tale. An angel told his ma before his birth that he'd been chosen as a Nazarite, one who is bound to drink no hard liquor or cut his hair, no matter what its length. A sign of special favor, you might think. Yet when this strapping lad became a man, he went to the land of the Philistines, ancient enemies of the Israelites. In a place called Timnath, he was smitten by a young girl from the enemy camp and told his folks he'd like to marry her. They took it hard that he might marry out and try to get their boy to change his mind. But Samson, being a law unto himself, went ahead despite all opposition. His wedding feast went on for a full week, games and riddles the order of the day. Nowadays, psychologists might refer to Samson's narcissistic tendencies. Anxious to hog the limelight, yet avoid too much expense, he thought up a riddle that only he could answer and boasted that he would give the winner 30 suits of clothes. But his plan backfired. And we have the start of a pattern of behavior that was fatally repeated later. What he needed was anger management to curb his leaning towards self-destruction. When none of the Philistines could solve it, the riddle sent by Samson drove them wild. They quizzed Samson's wife to find the answer. In fact, they told her that unless she did, they'd burn her house down and she'd pay the price. Hardly surprising that because of this, the critter tried to worm it out of him. She actually succeeded. Later on, Delilah revealed his second secret, which we'll come to in due course, but for now, Realizing his bride had betrayed him, Samson left the feast. Hell-bent on revenge, he quickly slaughtered 30 Philistines. That's where we have to end for the moment, folks.
Initially, go on.
I was at West Cork Yoga Festival there this weekend, and it was cool. I didn't really know fully what to expect. I knew kind of like yoga was not all just about stretching and stuff like that. I'd done it a few times, but I just got a great energy from it and stuff. And yeah, I wrote this there anyway. It's called Namaste, and just in case anyone doesn't know, Namaste means let the light of, or may the light in me greet the light in you. So, in which life are you going to dance like you're free? Carve waves right through the air. Find the rhythm and stomp your feet. Make each move with spontaneity and care. In which life will you laugh out loud? Sing along. Take your time. Lay back.
Look at the clouds.
Be deeply moved by a simple rhyme. Is there a world where health is your drug of choice and calmness is for a moment all you know? Where you realize the power of a loving voice and everything around you grows? Could it be that each breath takes you forward, that light and darkness are friends? Could we learn to listen more and find a contentness that never ends? Namaste.
Some perpetually valid questions in that form somewhere. So we've 4 poets left, guys. Philip Spillane is up next.
Queen of the skies. There is no face on the moon, even if you stare too long at her. You'll try and see if she eventually looked back, stone white, or facing away in a perfect slice. But the blemished crevice that's bleached the moon's surface is truly formless. Only a storyteller has placed an eye right there and there, and has placed a smile just about here, and calls her queen of the skies. And a child might see her for a little while. Thank you.
Moving to America on Saturday, and with their daughter in Ophria, and this, yeah, she had some safe travels. We've walked a long journey as friends, and this is a poem for Ophria called Angel of the Silk City. We do not always get to remain that what we are born. The stem of the rose grows a thorn and a flower. On occasion we bend to forces beyond our power and relinquish a part of ourselves in order to grow. Sometimes we know just what those around us know and are forced to know it just because it is known. And your mind will form around a known landscape, but you will always have intuition, and you will have fought hard to hear it, an impulse channel from body and brain one hopes to tune into and zone out from successions of doubt. Here your growth becomes you, as you are growing in time with nature. Here you may remain some part of the stair you came from. You do not always get to remain that which you are born, no Nofi, but you were born a miracle, and not just that of any birth, firstborn child of the Queen of the Camino and coming of age, King of Cove Street and Town in its original spelling, not the first to struggle to share space in an occupied room, younger sister to the Sprague and already an example to it, an embodiment of what it was not graced to be, testament to a mother's strength to carry, miscarry, carry on. You are a triumphant incarnation of the human spirit following long and arduous battles with pain, outside bet of outside bets. The first thing you learned was to share, value this most highly always. You do not always get to remain that which you are born, but I heard your name in Greek means angel of the Silk City, and may such a title go before you always, as you travel from this town and wander near and wide. Try never put another down, keep your star alive inside, enjoy the wondrous spectacle, give respect to any, you were born a miracle, may you make miracles for many.
Absolutely miracles. Can we get Mel White, please? Okay, this one I'm going to read is it's a recent rewrite of something that I wrote when I was about 14, which was absolute shite. But I just remembered it recently, and the idea at the time was to write the Garden of Eden story from the snake's point of view. And I remembered it a few weeks ago, and sort of that what I was trying to say at the time actually still seemed like relevant to something that I did want to say. The initial one, when I was 14, I actually told the whole story, and I think that was completely unnecessary because everybody kind of knows the story. So this recent version is a lot more succinct, but I think it still makes the point that I was trying to make back then. So it's called The Serpent's Defense. I'm not the chicken or the egg. I came later, when chickens were kept in cages and eggs were boxed. Manicured lawns wore signs saying, keep off the grass. Trees grew in straight lines and gates were locked. I'm not a chicken. I'd admit if I started it. I'm a scapegoat, a snake. And yes, Your Honor, I gave her an apple. If I could, I'd have given more. The taste of wild garlic or a ladder to climb over his garden wall.
To wrap us up tonight, Ruth Bernadette Gallagher.
We pump water from 200 feet below. No steps down. No need for bucket or whitewash. Is this the same water that our protectors wish to sell? First to an innocent named Ishkageoga, and then to descendants of Deng. Thank you.